This morning I'm finishing up preaching verse by verse through 2 Corinthians 8 through 9. Last week I focused on 8:21 on being honorable. Today the focus is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. And there is a continuous contextual flow in chapters 8 and 9. Both chapters show the fully connected details of Paul's thrust. Starting at 8, 1 through 2, two chapters on this, the apostles wanted the Corinthian Christians to know about the grace of God through the giving that the Macedonians were known for. And Paul explained that they gave while in a great ordeal of affliction and deep poverty, yet in overwhelming joy that overflowed in the wealth of their liberality in doing this. And he said from 8:3 on that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave, even begging the apostles with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the ministers. And so they urged a man named Titus to go back to Corinth. Paul's in Macedonia. He's writing to Corinth. They're urging this man, Titus, to go to Corinth to make sure the process would be accomplished fully. And then back in 1 Corinthians 16, 1-5, the first epistle, that's where we see that Titus actually started working with the Corinthians on the Sunday meeting giving process laid out by Paul the Apostle. And that's why we give on Sundays. And after that, Titus went to Macedonia to be with Paul. And so this is where Paul's writing from Macedonia. And so Paul urged from 8:7 on that since the Corinthians he's writing to here in 2 Corinthians abounded in faith and in their words and in their knowledge and sincerity and also in the love that the apostles inspired in them, he said, see that ye also abound in this gracious work of giving. And in 8:8, Paul explained that he was not writing this as if commanding them, but instead as proving through comparison with the earnestness of the Macedonians the sincerity of the love of the Corinthians. Saying at 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty would become rich. And in 8:10 onward, Paul explained that the Corinthians there were the first to begin a year before, not only to do all this, but also to desire to do it. And so now those Corinthians needed to make sure they accomplished it, so that just as there was that readiness to desire it, so there will also be this completion of it by their ability, he says. And so he says at 12 through 15, for if the readiness is present, the giving is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And he reminded them that this giving is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but it's by way of equality. That at this present time, your abundance being a supply for what they need, so that their abundance also becomes a supply for your need, that there will be equality, he says. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. And then in 16 through 23, Paul mentioned Titus again, and then he's going to them with some other faithful Christians to make sure that the money that's collected and the retrieval and the distribution, that's all going to be treated honorably. And with that, verse 24 through chapter 9 saying this, therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. And yet Paul reassured them that he knew their readiness in the ministry of giving, that he knew that they had been prepared since the last year, and their zeal had even been stirring up most of the Macedonians that he was comparing them with, that he just wanted them to be prepared with their previously promised bountiful gift when everybody gets there. He didn't want it affected also by covetousness either. And so now I'm going to read more directly from the main scripture section that I'm preaching from in the flow, because I'm finishing up this two-chapter section today. It's 9, 6 through 15, Paul said. The point is this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, as reluctantly, or under compulsion, forced. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality and giving, which through us, that's the apostles, is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service, of the sharing, is not only fully supplying the needs of the set apart ones, the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this giving ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So prepare your heart for this sermon. You reap abundantly by giving abundantly. It's the principle. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would use your scripture to teach us so that we would understand things from your perspective, and that your perspective would become our perspective, and then through that perspective, we would live it. I ask that I preach accurately for your glory in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in finishing up this series out of chapters 8 and 9, I'm focusing on God and others. What is interesting is that the God focus and the other focus is always prominent with giving. Even last week's sermon in 8:21 on being honorable, it's the same way. God and others should always be a big importance with us, with you, with me. But now there is more of a focus on something that you get out of it. So think about this. In trade practice and in commerce and buying and selling and so forth, when you give something for something, it's an exchange of property. You trade items for items. So when you give something like money in exchange for something else, you get something else. And when it comes to giving away money as donated support, it's a completely different kind of practice altogether. Giving support is not a pursuit of back and forth property exchange. It's a practice of handing over what you have for it to become what someone else has. Now you no longer have it. They do. And there are things also like investments. When someone puts money into an investment, they spend it for the reason of getting more money back from what they spend. Now, the overarching principle that I'm getting into this morning, reaping abundantly by giving abundantly, has to do with giving money away. But it also has to do with investment. When you give money away for ministry, it is your investment. It is investment that God has ordained in his kingdom economy. And the back and forth principle is pretty straightforward. You will supernaturally get by simply giving away. And by logical extension, but more importantly, according to God's word, because that's what I preach, verse by verse through God's word, the more you give away, the more you reap from what you give away, you reap bountifully, as God says. And in fact, he says he makes sure you have all sufficiency in everything, including money to give more and more for every good deed. Now, this is very fascinating because this fact is almost like a secret. And what I mean is that economists and financial advisors of the world, they don't make this a money management success strategy. They don't even consider it, except for like ones like Dave Ramsey. He's a Christian economist and advisor and counselor. But everything about this is counterintuitive to the natural mind. But even some Christians don't know about it. And yet, the so-called secret has also been twisted into superstitious error. I mean, you can find counterfeit practices in the world which come from the natural mind that's led by sin. Superstitions and false religions have certain reap what you sow reward hopes. And some superstitiously believe what comes around, what goes around comes around. Some believe that if they make a false god happy, then that, you know, they might just get something in return. And so what they're doing is they sacrifice to idols and to false gods. But all those things are deceitful counterfeits of the real principle God ordained for Christians. And yet there are also counterfeit applications among Christians. And it comes from selfish people abusing God's word to aggrandize their assets. I've seen people twist the principles of God's word to manipulate others out of greed, lust, and extravagance. But for us, what do we want? We simply just want the truth. We want to live the truth. And we want to be found, as 9:13 says, giving proof by our giving ministry of our obedience to our confession of the gospel of Christ Jesus. And if there's anything personal to get out of it, like satisfaction, joy, love fulfillment, and even money or other assets from God, yes, then seeking and being hopeful of what God's saying applies to us is biblical Christianity. To even begin to get into any of this, it's necessary that we must start with the substance of the foundation being the scriptural revelation. And the scriptural base in 6 through 11 is like an advertisement that goes the extra mile to get the point across. It is relentlessly driving the point forward with no rest. And it starts with this: he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And it lays out what God's going to do, saying this: God will make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance to give for every good deed. And Paul's biblical reference is God's giving supply from Psalm 112:19, that God scattered abroad, God gave to the poor, God's righteousness endures forever. And in respect to what God does in his own giving supply, because this is the point, this is what Paul's basing this on, that's his scripture base, God is the source. See? So your giving, my giving, it's a relational love investment process. So in respect to God, Paul explained that God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply. He didn't say might, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality in doing this. And this is the scriptural revelation to stand on in faith. And scripture also shows that this giving has to do with your heart. Now, isn't your heart always an issue when it comes to what you should do? We know it is. I know mine is. Well, this is no different. It says, give just as you have purposed in your heart. Now, that right there, the right heart on this, is a manifestation of the spirit of your life in Christ. It's a heart of faith. And a right heart cuts off the root of this money love that's a root of all evil. And it nurtures the seed of your biblical giving as love for others, which produces roots of righteousness and a harvest of blessing. And this love for others motivation and manifestation is the heart issue for most all Christian activity, by the way. So your heart, my heart on this, it's very important. But just as important is the unique focus of this aspect, that the investment outcome brings a guaranteed payback from God. So on the wording that if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully, the agricultural metaphors get across the sense that money is like seed you plant. Same principles in Galatians 6:7, where it says there, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. You know, when farmers plant seed, what they're looking forward to is a bunch of crops that come from it in the future. Well, your money is the seed. And reaping has to do with what the planted seed produces. Now, others get benefit from what is planted and what's harvested, but you also benefit from what is planted and harvested. Planted seeds produce crops for everyone. And with the farmer who planted the seeds not only produce a bunch of produce to be stored and sold and eaten, but the fruit, the vegetables, the grains, the produce, they all make more seed than what was planted. And much of what Paul was getting at has to do with quantity. When you put a whole lot out to the financial giving that God has in his economy to the kingdom of God, you reap a lot of financial fruit from the kingdom of God. And this happens because God is involved in the money from before you give, very important, all the way through what happens next. This is an area we need to sometimes change our thinking on. God is involved in the money from before you give it, before you made it, all the way through what happens with the next. That's the part right there that we can easily lose sight of. God is involved in the money from before you give all the way through what happens next. We need to know this. And here, God's word is assuring you about the provisional aspect of God to you personally, about the thing which gets unnoticed, ignored, and listen, even rejected in unbelief. That God is the one who supplies seed to the sower. It's God's word, repeated now more than once in God's word. And it also says, God is the one who supplies bread for food. So what you must acknowledge, what everyone must acknowledge, Christians, is that the seed you sow is from God. And the bread produced from the crops from the seed is from God. So you should be giving him credit for any provision you have in this earthly existence. And yeah, you're the one who works to provide, of course. And yes, you're the one who disciplines yourself to do it. And in the midst of the daily grind, because that's what it is, you experience what you produce by your calculations and your risks and your efforts and your blood, your sweat, your tears. And you are the one who gives. But in the midst of it all, God is your provider, working in providential and supernatural ways, supplying seed and bread and financial resources, even using you as his process. Now listen to me, to do this for others. This is what God has always said. This is how he's always done it. So start giving God credit for any provision you have in this earthly existence, whether you worked for it, you inherited it, or whatever. But more, Paul spotlights that important point, that God will give back to you what you give in multiplied increase. In other words, it's more than what you had to give beforehand. And so this really is the golden economic principle of investing in the kingdom of God. He will increase the harvest of your righteous giving. You will be enriched in everything to continue this in abundance. Now think of grain silos filled with seed, and the overflow is to be planted. Think of a warehouse filled with bread, and the overflow is to be distributed. This is the scriptural base. And so also be thinking of why God then blesses you. There are many reasons for why God blesses you. But think about this biblical principle. God blesses you to bless others. And all kinds of spiritual gifts that we have, physical gifts that we have, they are blessings that we have, and we use them to bless others. You're realizing that God gives to you continuously, which blesses you, right? But that he's doing so to ensure that your giving will go on in a continuous flow to bless others. And the implication of this means that you have a stewardship of responsibility for what you do with the river of provision that God gives to you. And he will, according to this principle. So as you give, God wants you to have the spiritual instinctive kind of recognition of this, that as you release streams of blessing to others from your reservoir, he continuously blesses the reservoir with more and more for more and more abundant flow, knowing that God will make sure that you have all financial sufficiency and everything for every good deed. What is your job? What's my job? What's our responsibility? It's to make sure that it happens. And the way to do it is by being faithful to your stewardship. Your scriptural stance, which you can even use as a prayer base, which we should, let's call it our building material for faith in this. It's that as you give, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance for every good deed. And you got to remember the context. The planting of money Paul's describing has to do with helping out with the needs of other Christians. And this is what having abundance for every good deed means. Your deeds are also what Paul calls your righteousness in verse 10. All of it's language for what it means to be helping supply the needs of others. You're being used by God. And Paul says, for the ministry of this service of giving is not only fully supplying the needs of those set apart in Christ, it's also overflowing through many thanksgiving of many people to God. So look at it this way. You are operating then as part of God's work. You're a part of what God's doing. So you think, well, I'm the doer. You are operating as part of the doer that's God and what God's doing. Even operating as an answer to the prayers of other Christians. Did you ever think of yourself that way? As an answer to the prayers of other Christians? Well, this is what this is all about. And you think of it that way. God blesses you to bless others as the representation of the arms of Jesus reaching out to fulfill needs. And you're helping God by helping the help he uses to be the help they're seeking him for. See? And in God's economy, as you bless others in this righteousness, as it's called, you also get help by being blessed more and more to bless others even more and more and more. This is what God wants. And there's more to mine out of God's word on this. And you can think of it as a warning. Or you can just think of it as a principle. But the profound clarity of it is in verse 6. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Meaning, based upon the little you give, you will get back little from God in return. Based on your reluctance to be a blessing, the blessing that should come to you from God for being one is stopped by you. And this is the point where Paul said next, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. God's looking at more than the quantity. He's looking at the quality of your heart purpose for what you do. So Paul says next, don't give grudgingly. Seeking to be a blessing to others is not supposed to be reluctant. He says, or under compulsion, which is to give only because you're required to do it. Paul says, for God loves a cheerful giver. The heart purposing is the positive energy propelling abundant giving to be a blessing. That good, right heart purpose. And faith and love is required to be a cheerful giver, because anything else is either you don't or you just give a little. And this is why this whole issue must be examined by God's word. You see that? Can't be examined by all kinds of other calculation and philosophies and so forth. That's how to see inside your own heart on this, is by God's word. You understand? He's the one telling you this. Are you treating your money like it belongs to Christ? Are you acting like a righteous steward of what he's entrusted you with in this short time that we have on this earth? Are you manifesting the faith and love on this like God wants? Are you seeking to be a blessing? You know, the faith and love heart issue is why God has a certain kind of blessing favor for a cheerful giver that is different than he has for a stingy, sparing giver. And verse 7 has the startling statement, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, of course, God loves all his children in Christ. God doesn't love you, then you're not saved. But Paul plainly says there is a certain love God has for his saved children who are cheerful givers. It's different than already loving everyone he has reconciled to himself in the new covenant through the cross by grace through faith. The word Paul used for love here is agapa in the Greek. So there's no mistake that God loves, nomic present, a cheerful Christian giver in a certain unique sense, in a certain manner. But Paul is not saying God hates all Christians who give grudgingly or under duress to meet the needs of others. What Paul means is that there is a bonus favor approval of God. It's in the midst of his point. It is a favor concerning a Christian who gives cheerfully in the joy of faith and love and eagerness. Remember, it's the heart. That is favor that is strongly opposite from the disapproval and the disfavor of a Christian giver that is doing it in respect to not being cheerful. And the way this love is manifested, it's in the blessing. That's what Paul's saying here. God's bountiful provision goes back to the one who sows from the love purpose of the heart in faith. Love and faith. Making all grace abound for every good deed as he multiplies the increase of the harvest of the love seeds of your righteousness. So the Spirit is urging to give. Purposing from your heart filled with faith and love for righteous giving. Give from a heart of love for him. Give to others out of love for them. Give out of faith in him that he will provide all your own needs according to his riches and glory. He truly has a special love for this. But he does not have this special kind of love for the giver who gives grudgingly or only out of compulsion without the love and faith motivation driving his or her heart to do it. They are backing away from a ministry calling, is what's going on. And further, this special love is not for non-givers. God knows the heart. And he also knows that there are a lot of reasons why people do not give. He understands the heart. But when it comes to the heart attitude of love and faith, when one purposes in one's heart that they simply do not want to give because of selfishness and lack of faith, and so they take the miser route, you know what I'm talking about, the miser route instead, and they turn their back on giving to others, well, in doing so, they've also turned their back on this special love from God. They have not even sown sparingly. They don't sow at all. So what happens? Well, they don't reap the blessing from God in this particular kind of special love from him and what he has reserved for those who sow out of love and faith of a good, cheerful heart. Give out of love and faith and good cheer. Seek to be a blesser. And you will get back from that love of being a cheerful giver. Seek to manifest the life of Christ in righteousness in all areas. That's really the way it is with everything. Cheerfully give abundantly. Cheerfully expect that God will increase the harvest of your righteousness because you're acting in a righteous manner in this. Your whole calling to godly service is to be representing Christ as his arms and legs. So see yourself that way as you help supply for financial needs. Amen?